Well,
oh boy.
Guess the map's mine now.
I got really me a map.
There's only one thing I want to do, and I'm trying to think of how best to do it. Or rather, Coriander is thinking of best to do it. What she wants to do very badly.
Okay.
Is release the hound.
Oh, mm. Oh, okay.
So, okay. Brief pause here for a second to say that while you were being harangued,
yes, I was. Thank you for reminding me.
While you were enduring a harangue, I was looking over Coriander's item list, realizing that I don't have one. And I briefly expounded to the group that I have had some difficulty flipping my brain between a Blades in the Dark style game and D&D games.
Okay.
And one of the big differences there is an inventory system. In Blades in the Dark type games, you sort of declare load ahead of time.
Flashback,
and then you get to, at moments of critical importance, get to just kind of like say, I totally planned, I brought this thing, you know, and up to a certain point, and there's like a cost for it and so on. So I was reflecting on that because the reason I don't have any items is just because I think I did not copy those things over from like a sheet. Like it doesn't make like things that Coriander would have on her, like lock picking tools or very like rope, the rope that she used to get down, things like, so there's just literally nothing marked.
Right.
Because there's nothing marked, I think there's a beautiful blank slate possibility here. She, what I would like for her to have, if it's allowable, is something that would appeal to a small dog in her pocket. Some remnant of dinner, some bit of meat,
must be a bit of undigested beef. There's more of gravy than of grave about you.
Something like that. My other thought was that she would like look around the room to see if there were dog treats in the room. But in just like the swiftness of this moment and what she wants to accomplish here is this. What she wants to do is to and I'm not sure how to accomplish this exactly, except that she wants to like wake the dog, send the dog out the door after a treat, yipping and making noise and stuff, and then to shimmy up the rope behind it and escape.
All right, now because I am a kind and generous person, and because of my respect for you as both a friend and writer, I will say the following: that in my preparation, I, in watching last time's session, have remembered something you have not, which is that you specifically told me that when you entered the house, that you had taken with you from the tavern or wherever it was that you had stayed, a handful of pepper. That you had brought this in specifically associated with the dog. So yes. I am reminding you out of this, out of the kindness and generosity of my heart. So while I will not give you a dog treat, I am going to give you the handful of pepper you already told me you had.
Well, thank you. You're because, welcome. Yes. Oh my gosh. Ah, of course. Okay. All right. All right. So,
And Coriander, you're going to need to make this decision quick because they're walking away.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that what she's going to do is
fast.
Yeah. She's going to do this quickly, execute 3-point move here.
Okay.
She's going to
James Bond it. Let's see. Let's go.
So no one is like actually checking the door.
No, not now. The two of them are walking with Granny and Cal.
Great. So okay. There's no way to actually ask this question. I'm debating whether making him yip while inside is enough of a come back to the Mathem House thing
no way,
or
no.
Okay, no. Well, she is going to let the door be more open, like just very slowly, like quietly, more open. Dash to the rope and be prepared to shimmy up it as she leapt up onto the rope, go with the pepper onto the dog's nose. Okay. And then try to escape.
Outstanding. I would like to see an acrobatics check, please. As you do this. So
I'm using a fellowship point, please.
For assuming, this. Off to the fellowship, assuming they're all cool with it.
If that's cool.
Sure.
I'll allow it.
You'll allow it? Okay. How do you feel, Brad?
He said yes.
Yes? Oh, he said yes? Okay, cool. I didn't hear. Yeah. All right, here we go. Khair inshallah.
I'll drink to that.
All right, fellowship point.
Make sure I'm giving it the
as player, not character. Why are we trying to throw away our clean getaway?
Wait, is it a clean getaway? I thought you guys were being taken.
She would have no way of knowing that.
Yeah.
What Coriander sees is the two of you being escorted by a bounder.
Yes, that's all I see.
I will vote for it because it is funnier.
It is funnier. Cal, I imagine you as a character, Brad, you and playing Cal's character, Cal be like, what the f-? But we'll talk about that in a minute. But she has no way of knowing, right? Like,
She has no way of knowing. What she's trying to do is just, she's going to get out, but she also wants to give you guys a chance to escape, which is the thing that she would want to do in this situation, I think.
Yes.
But Brad, I cannot tell you how gratifying it is to see you in this position, player of Golem. Oh my god. I am, seriously, it is.
All I have to say is next campaign, watch out.
No, then he's going to play a rogue again.
Yeah.
This is the thing that is so patient upon you. Of the thing that you did over and over to River constantly. All right, here we go. Khair inshallah, let's do it. We're doing shit. That's not what I meant to roll. Sorry, I just hit a straight.
You punch the dog in the nose. Everyone hates you. No one buys any of your books.
His laptop is too sensitive.
No. It was not an attack roll. It was a strength roll.
It was a strength
roll. She lifts the dog up and yeets it.
Yeah, sure.
High velocity.
No. Acrobatics check, please.
That's what I want. Okay, acrobatics. Okay, fellowship point. Poof.
So okay.
18.
So yeah. There's this. You hear, and then poof, this pepper, and then up the rope. Now what you hear is it, and then just like this weird like spitting, and then and this thing starts echoing around the inside of the house. So there's this moment where even those who are walking down, Cal and Granny, you suddenly hear, although somewhat muted, like coming from the inside of the house. Titch, I would argue, even you, somewhere in the far distance, like just go like way, like, what is it? Right?
Is that a bear here?
And one of the things that you hadn't necessarily accounted for is that the pepper that you put, because you have thrown it into a three-sided, as I described it, chamber, which is occupied by a now frantically running around dog, pepper just into the room as a whole. So as you're climbing above this cloud, the and Cal and Granny, you turn around in time to see, I would like you all please to remember the classic Meatloaf song, like a bat out of hell, as this dog blows out of the door, out of the house, and the bounders sort of whirl around as this dog is like, like, you know, running up this way. And like, now the noise of this dog while barking carries, there's just this echo through the town, yip, 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 like just all over the place. You start to hear Titch, you see lights start to pop up in the town as this yipping sound is carrying everywhere. And Coriander, you are now on the roof. You quickly shimmy up. You're standing on the roof and you see down below you, looking down in the field, just barely illuminated by the light of the gradually rising moon, is this small shape that is running in circles, going yip, 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 yip,
as it's running grinding around. Its face in the grass.
Now,
So
Cal turns towards it and says, "What on earth is happening?"
And one about, I don't know. Right, you stay here. Hey, come on. And the other bounder, like, basically let both of you go and just book towards whatever this shape is. And it's like, oh yeah, it sounds like firework. A firework. And says, all right, well then you gotta go get, go get Malva. Well, Malva's probably on her way. Malva. Now you remember that, you all remember that Malva is the actual curator of the Mathem House who has turned Bilbo down on multiple occasions. So the bounders are like booking towards the dogs, which means Cal, you and Granny at the moment are not occupied. Coriander, you're on the roof watching this. And Titch, you see this sound, hear lights, and see, as you look off into the field, assuming you look behind you at least, I don't know, it's up to you if you do, but I mean, it's behind you.
No, you said I see this sound and I hear lights.
Sorry, see the light and hear the sound, my fault. Gotcha. But the sound's behind you. Are you turning around to look at the sound? So when you see you can see what is definitely not a bear, but what is in fact a small shape that sounds like a dog, yipping loudly while the two bounders that spoke to you seem to be running across a field towards it. You also see two smallish shapes on the stone path, which might be two of your companions.
Yeah, we scuttle out of here.
Yeah, which way are you scuttling?
Hotel, I guess.
Well, towards where we think Titch is.
Okay.
Oh, right. So good.
Coriander, what about you? You're on the roof. You can now see this sort of from the, not 1,000-foot view, 20-foot view? 20-foot view.
Which is close for a hobbit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She'll have pulled up the rope behind her, shut the skylight carefully, and... and here it just depends of like she if it makes more sense for her to like flatten herself down on the roof and wait until the scrutiny has passed. She will, like, if she can see people approaching, right? So like
not from the town yet. She sees lights in the town. She doesn't see anyone approaching right now. She sees her people. The bounders are running away. Remember, they are running from
the dog. Right. Great. Cool. Yeah, no, then she too will just retrace her steps, and she is going to head back to the hotel to be where she has been all night.
Okay. And we see that?
Well, no, I don't think so, unless you're, because you folks are going, you see Titch for sure. In fact, while Coriander is getting down from the roof, I will
wait
say
a second. Hold on a sec.
Yeah.
What can she see from the roof? She sees the dog running around.
She can see two smallish figures, which may be, you definitely don't see Cal or Granny at the door anymore. So you might see two small figures that might be them walking towards the road. And maybe if you squint, although this is hard, you might be able to see the somewhat tallish figure of Titch standing there. You don't know, but that's a little bit of a stretch. But Cal and Granny, you can definitely see no longer with guards because the bounders are running, chasing the dogs.
Okay, that's great. Okay, then in that case, she will actually just go to Granny and so on to regroup with them.
So when Granny and Cal, so Titch, you turn around to see Granny and Cal, probably with some speed, I imagine, moving up to you. The three of you can now talk to each other. Again, I just want chat to be aware that while this is happening, yip, in the field is going on.
Great.
So Titch, for the record now, I have a bad case of dementia in case anybody asks.
All right. Titch and Coriander is here too.
Coriander isn't there yet. Coriander is going to show up after in about 30 seconds after you have this discussion, whatever you're having.
Well, we don't know where she's headed towards the hotel or what. So Cal says, come on, let's get going. Let's get back to the hotel.
You see lights now, and like you start to see people coming from the town in this direction towards you.
You're missing a member of your party.
Oh, we're going to meet up.
She will be fine.
At which point, in a cloud of dust, Coriander, like, I don't know whether you run into them, but practically.
No, she just like
appears.
She'll be like, I'm here, let's go.
I said, she's fine.
Cal is like looking Coriander up and down because like her cloak is like sticking way up.
Yeah, it is.
For some
her
reason.
Cloak is up on something.
Oh, you know what she's actually gonna do is she's gonna say, this is not an ideal solution. She's going to very, like, as they're walking and stuff, she's going to say, like, oh, you wouldn't believe the state of this map. It was so awful. I had to just quickly, you know, and she's like, you know, like, she briefly lifts her cloak to show you and goes, this is not an ideal solution, but it was
Okay. Calla is just ushering everybody down the road.
The sound of the yipping is getting louder, by the way, as it circles around. So it's like a Doppler effect thing. Like,
she's actually like, Titch, do you think I could poke this into your cloak? You're a little taller than me, and maybe I could hide this behind you.
Don't you have a scroll case or something?
Cal, do you have a scroll case? Yeah.
I would probably have, yeah, I think I would have a map tube of some sort.
All right, then Coriander will, like, go whooshed and hand it to you to, like, put away.
Okay, now.
You now see a number of lights headed down the road with some speed.
Yeah, all right, we have to get off the road. Come on.
We
could split up to go back to the hotel.
With speed in the other direction.
I was just about to say, if you want to go the other, because if you go towards the hotel, you're going right into the lights, just letting you know.
Did we leave anything at the hotel?
Maybe we hide somewhere and wait for the lights to pass and then go to the hotel.
If we didn't leave anything in the hotel, then we should just go.
Did we leave anything at the hotel?
I don't recall you.
We packed light, right?
Even our odds.
I don't think so. We paid. We definitely paid for all of our stuff. So we're not skipping out on a bill.
What's one more crime?
Yeah, let's just book it. let's just book it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll head the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Okay. So you book it. And as you're sort of heading up the road, the yipping sound you hear at one point sort of a, well, what's all this? Well, firework! What happened to firework? Yip, 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 yip. with people just like, you know, and there's sort of like absolute chaos in the town as people arrive as you slip down the road. Now, I do have to ask about Titch. Titch, I'm guessing at this point you would follow your companions, or are you determined to stay at the guard post, you know, come hell or high water? I will say that your post is now going to be manned by about 750 people in about 3 seconds, so it's not going to go unguarded.
I'm real tempted to stay there, at least for a little while.
It's up to you. I mean, you tell me. You just need to figure out a way that you're going to get out of that situation is all at some point.
Yeah, he would need to figure out a way that he's going to get out of that situation.
Yeah, so I'll leave it up to you. It's up to you how you want to handle it.
If Titch is not following Coriander, is going to look at him, go and like have the biggest biggest eyes, and going to look at him and say, but Titch, I thought we were friends. Don't you want to come back with us?
And the pause is just like,
we'll find that out next time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
He's like, I'll catch up. Go. I know where you're headed. Go.
But I don't want to leave you behind.
If I come with you, I'm a part of this crime, and I won't do that.
What crime?
Okay. I don't think there's been a crime, but I understand what you're saying. Please do come.
The only crime here is the way they've treated this poor, poor map.
Yep, 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 yep.
Okay. All right, reluctantly and sadly, but okay, so Coriander, before she goes, is gonna run up to Titch and throw her arms around him and give him a big hug around the midsection, and then go back with everybody else.
Okay, then I need to talk to Titch, and then I'm going to talk about what happens when you arrive back. We'll speak about that. But Titch, so
I just imagine Coriander wrapping around, like, Titch slipping his spear between the two of them trying to pry her off. Sorry, go ahead.
Titch, I would say it's fair to say that in about 10 minutes after your companions have exited, the Matham House and the surrounding area is a hive of activity. It is just absolutely, you know, swarming, almost literally. And my question is, are you going to talk to anyone directly? or take a moment where you might slip out of the path, or how are you handling things? No one has come to talk to you directly yet.
Well, I imagine that as people are coming by, they're probably looking at me like, who the hell are you and what are you doing here?
Yeah, some of them, but more of them are concerned about the yipping dog and right, about Malva, who is now like, raising the Shire by herself. What has happened to my dog? You
know, right, so, I mean, when anybody comes along, he's pointing towards where the commotion is.
Okay.
And he's, it's over there.
Okay. Okay.
So he's kind of directing traffic, but he's not really okay than he is. But if somebody comes and asks him what's going on, he will say, you know, there's some commotion down there.
Eventually, your bounder person who originally set you to this kind of has a chance to speak to you and ask you what happened. Like, overall. Like, what in the night?
I was following your instructions, just as you asked me to. I was staying here, on guard, watching for the thing. The next part of the patrol came along and tried to get me to abandon my post, which I take my job very seriously. They said they did too, and then tried to convince me to not do that. I find that incredibly unprofessional. Anyway, they moved on, and whatever they did back there caused this commotion. So, I've been here where you told me to stay the entire time.
And she nods, and she kind of, I believe it was a she. She nods, and she kind of pats your shoulder, and she says,
so that means they've told you a little bit about, they tell you about Bargo?
There was something about an embargo, but I'm not sure what they were talking about. Wait. Yay!
Well done! Yeah,
there it is. And she says,
right, it's kind of a, well, it wasn't a real bear. Anyway, we'll talk about that tomorrow. You're relieved, though. I'm supposed to take over in this post. And look, I don't know, but I think Malva's not going to be happy. You might not want to be that near when she comes back. She's probably going to ask questions about this situation.
Well, and that's fine, I don't have any answers, so maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't be here. I mean, all things considered, I shouldn't be here anyway.
And she says, look, you know, I want to say, well, and she kind of looks around. She says, I'm, you know, Titch, there ain't many people who actually would care as much as you seem to about your work. And, well, if I got a say in the matter, I'm going to have the sheriff, when he's being the mayor, not the sheriff, send a message to Bree to tell him what a good job you did here and commend you, you might say. You know, I appreciate that you stuck by things and
he kind of moves his helmet slightly. Did you say commend or condemn?
Commend, not
oh,
condemn.
Oh, that's much
commend.
Better. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he kind of straightens up to attention, kind of his chin sort of up again.
Silhouetted against the moonlight.
Exactly, yeah.
So he's like, yeah, and you know, and she's like, so thank you. And look, here. And she fumbles in her pouch and she pulls out what looks essentially like a wooden sort of token. But on the front of it, you can see is essentially a rune. And she says, so this is the rune of Michelle Delving. If you ever get into trouble out here in the West Farthing, well, you give this to them and, well, they might give you some consideration. Think of it as sort of a get out of the town hall cell free card. Bargo didn't have one. And then she sees you're not laughing and she's like, right, so I'll just stay here and you can head off and thank you again. And you hear Malvo, I want to talk to whoever's response. He said, you better move out.
I am relieved. And he strides on.
I want to jump us forward to what happens upon your return to Bag End. There are two things that happen. First of all, insofar as the door was definitely not closed, which is how Firework was able to blow through it. You'll be happy to know that Firework was not harmed in the making of this adventure.
No fireworks were harmed in this game.
No fireworks were harmed in the making of this game.
They never
however, the news that it's pretty obvious that someone broke in and did something, largely due to a variety of disturbed books and a distinct smell of pepper, which still remains inside the Matham house. And so within probably 2 to 3 days, the news that someone has broken into the Matham house is all over Michelle Delving and fairly soon is spread across the West Farthing. In fact, Coriander, it's possible that even your parents may have heard rumors of this and have given you several particularly suspicious looks in your direction, maybe. And also a couple of granny, you've also had to field a couple of questions from them, like, did anything happen to her while she was, you know, type of thing.
This is the halo now.
I was going to say, that's your halo, isn't it?
So, Cal, I'm going to talk about what Bilbo says to you in just a minute. After your successful recovery of the old Took's map of this Shire and the swift journey home, particularly swift, I'm not sure any of you stopped running for several hours, you are greeted by the green door of Bag End being thrown open like a pop gun to reveal a grinning Bilbo standing on the doorstep, walking stick in hand. You found it! A wonderful... Oh, wait, actually, Titch, do you still have it? So, now that I think of that...
No, we get Cal around.
You kept it around. Right. That's right, Cal had it in his tube, right? Yeah, yeah. So, Cal, assuming you show it to him, I shouldn't assume, but assuming that you show it to him. You found it! Wonderful! Wonderful! Oh, I knew I could rely on you! Come in! Oh, I'm so happy... Is that a smell of pepper?
She reminds me, I'm hungry.
Much pepper on her. Whatever she had, she threw at the dog. It was like a small amount.
You haven't washed your hands yet.
You have not had the experience of a dog spreading a small handful of things, and I have.
And
I've been there.
All like stuck in your like foot hair. And
imagine
stuff
it
like
as
that.
Glitter, and you'll know what I'm talking about. A small handful indeed. Bilbo ushers you in with a hasty wave of his hand. He says, "Well, come in. We'll need to review my grandfather's map quickly tonight if we're to set off on our next adventure. This remarkable find of yours makes me believe I'm quite ready for one. Perhaps I might even accompany you." And as the three of you enter, Titch, as you are making your way down the road, there's a moment where you look off to the side and you see what might be a faintly blue glowing bear, or might be a hobbit with a broom handle and a piece of cloth trying not to be seen. And you continue your stride along the road as we bring A Conspiracy Most Cracked to an end.
Very good. I would like to do a thing, actually.
Please feel free to do a thing.
Yeah, so before we set out on this grand adventure that we just partook in, I completely forgot to haggle out a reward from Bilbo, because one of Granny's hobbies is to just fuck with Bilbo.
Okay.
Because, you know, as cousins do, and like, basically what she would like to do is to try and convince him that, like, right from the get-go, she had convinced him to give up one of his heirlooms that he owns. And she would have just randomly picked something shiny and expensive looking that would have been in the room.
Well,
as, like,
a ring?
Like a ring. No, I'm like more thinking like, I don't remember if that's actually in the books or not, but like in the movie, you know how when like all the family members like come to the house and they're like, no,
sack with Bagginses,
like what to steal all the stuff, and there's like this thing about like the chair where like also Bill was like, no, this one is not for sitting, you know, like something like that.
Yeah.
So, and then she would just like use it as a footrest or something.
So he actually does, he actually is willing to reward each of you. I was going to come to that last with Cal, but she, he is willing to reward each of you with something. Granny, I would say for you, he offers you actually something a little better than that. He offers you silver would be the term, not plated, but like there's a silver inlay, silver topped, thank you, walking stick that he has, and he tells you that this is silver indeed from the dwarves. Now, Bilbo's always saying stuff like that, and you never really know 100% whether to believe him, but it certainly seems like a pretty impressive walking stick and quite
shiny. Oh, I can kill monsters with this, yeah, because it's silver?
No,
wait,
but it'll hold
wrong
you up.
Novel.
It'll it'll prevent you from falling out of bushes, let's say, in certain cases.
You can use it against were-terriers, that's fine.
Oh,
exactly.
Were-terriers.
Titch, you are not actually left alone with this. He also provides you with a silver-handled sort of spear, and the...
He refuses.
Oh, really? Because it's not
Titch,
from Bree?
Titch, no, because... Titch is not going to take part in any of this crime.
In any of the ill-gotten gains. I see. All right, well then he is, he doesn't quite, Validant. He seems to not even understand what you mean about crime. He's sort of like, he kind of just is like, oh, well, you humans are, men of Bree are so strange, really. But he lets that go. Coriander, for you, he gives you what he says are very subtle things for subtle uses. And what they actually are a pair of a set of silken black gloves that are just for the tips, just not for the tips of the hands, but like all the way. They're not, I was about to say fingerless, and I was like, that'd be totally useless for this. The idea is that it's supposed to cover your hands.
Yeah.
But they are very nice and very precious and very, you know, and he's like, you know, precious. Be careful not to, because his precious, be careful not to, well, rip these, but they may help you keep a little quieter. If there's ever reason for you to do that, I can't imagine what that'd be.
These are very, very, very beautiful, Uncle Bilbo, but you do remember that I am owed a spoon.
And he nods and he says, well, if you had checked your vest pocket, and you look in your vest pocket and find a spoon there, and Bilbo has given you a slightest of winks as he turns away. last Cal, Bilbo one night is sitting down talking to you, having given you a set of fine silver pens that are usable for particularly fine map work. And that can make things, in fact, if you had had them before this, you could have done even more with the cover, copy of this, if you wanted to actually do that. As you're sort of looking, as he's sort of speaking to you, he says, look at this, my boy. And he's pointing down at one part of the map. And it seems to be a map even of like the North Farthing, actually, not the West Farthing. And he says, So there's where you received this map because of your cleverness, and here's where I am. And what do you think is down there, my boy? And he points this one spot, and you can see several runic letters there that seem to maybe spell out something about... There's a T and a K you might be able to make out there. It might be something about Took.
Elvish, Dwarvish?
It appears to be... It appears to be... Elvish. And he says, I believe I know what this map is for. I think we've found the club of Bandabras Took, and we're going to get it.
Bandabras.
And that's where we're going to bring our session to. So, the club with which Bandabras Took himself, as you may remember, took off the head of a goblin. It went straight through the air and down a rabbit hole, and such the battle was won, and the game of golf invented in the same moment.
That was the guy. I was like, that name rings a bell.
That's the guy. Very, very well done. Super, super entertaining. Oh my god. I love that everything on Professor Tolkien's Green Earth went wrong, and somehow you managed to all kind of hold this together.
Things go more wrong.
That's true. The visuals
until
it
came back around to right.
The visuals were amazing. And I will let you folks know. I've already mentioned this to the players, but I will tell chat that the adventure that these folks will go on next is called Expert Treasure Hunters. So expert treasure hunters is where these folks will go next. Thank you for the cheers, by the way, Dragonspear. Yes, Tolkien does deserve a cheer. So, players, wonderful stuff. I will start with the gentleman at the bottom right. I was not sure exactly, Tren, how we're going a little bit out of normal order because of the way the squares are. I was not sure entirely how this was all going to go down with Titch, because I think you're 100% right that, you know, like, a man's guard is his castle, so to speak, like his post is his castle. I get it, you know, you were staying in this one spot, you had been put there, but I wasn't sure how that was going to work out ultimately, especially when you found out that the bear may not have been the bear that you thought was the case. Very hobbit-like, but not very bear-like. So I was curious how that was all going to work out, and in the end, it ended up being something where Titch was true to his principles, but also, you know, was part of the mix in this. So I found that very funny. And the sequence of you sort of putting the spear in between you and Coriander was very funny. Titch's perpetual bemusement in this campaign has been very amusing to me. So I like that. How did you feel about today's session? Where will the fine folks find you next?
I thought it was awesome. And I'm glad I got to use my inspiration.
Yes. In the way that, and you all use three fellowship points. It's like a Final Fantasy VII right. boss battle. Like, every Phoenix down, every...
So great. Because this is the sort of situation where we're going to go through them. We're going to need one of those points, and we're not going to have it because we use them all here. And it's just like, I mean, we got three more, so it's fine. But, it's going to be great. It's going to be lovely. I'm just... The difference in size between Tawny's spirit bear form and a hobbit with a broomstick is significant.
I know.
So Titch is like, you know, looking off in the distance, and it could be a bear or it could be. I'm like, no.
I was being quite facetious on that.
Titch could be neither of them.
Right.
So frankly,
could be neither. That's true. Yeah. Could very well be neither one. Uh-huh.
It's like, okay, one is the size of a kid with like a hobby horse, and the other is the size of a Volkswagen. So it's like, yeah. Anyway, because Titch knows how big a bear is. So
yeah.
But yeah,
I was being a bit facetious with that.
Yeah, I know. just Titch isn't. So it's just, I love this game and this group so much. It is so much fun. I'm much like what I think Amal was saying earlier, there is going to come a point where it's like the fact that Bilbo's like, you know, oh, we're going on an adventure, and now Titch is like, oh. He's like, wait a minute.
Well, hold
what
on.
Is this guy trying to sucker me into? He is having none of this shit. So when we start this next event, oh, it's going to be great. It's like, wait, where are we going? It's like, well, we need to free a thing. Free? And he's going to look directly at Coriander and be like, is this like you liberating other objects that want to be with someone? Because he's just going to be like, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. And
if you had seen that map, if you had seen it, creased and dusty and miserable, if you'd only seen it, it would not be so hard to persuade you.
So where will people see me next? Probably here, maybe, I think. I don't know. We're planning next month's.
Yes, over the weekend we'll be figuring out May. Yes, which will be quite quite busy.
So. Yeah. And I mean, definitely at the end of next month.
Yeah. ArvCon next month, people. So, yep. Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, it looks like Discord has an update for me. So, yeah. Don't know why that was relevant to say, but there we are. And yeah, are we going that way or that way?
We'll go I guess left and then up. So we'll go to Tari next.
The birthday girl.
To the birthday girl. So happy birthday again, Tari. Granny Lavender with an eventful session. First of all, very clever play from you and Brad both. I was dying at the whole, like, you know, like, what do you mean a math house? And I'm just like, oh my god, the emotionally fragile. So it's just like convinced of senility instead, like. And what I love about this is that this is exactly the confusing situation that a bounder would be like, well, Titch was weird. Like, it's like, you know, I mean, there's no argument. Like, I'll come more to that when I get to Brad and poor Cal, like, trying to herd these cats. But so Granny, the fact that you're having to figure out how Granny manages this appropriately was very, very funny to me. I wondered if there was going to be a big back and forth about, like, how dare you treat me, young man? But then more, it was just like, I have to pretend not to know any of what's going on here because you literally can't limp well enough. Like, you're too spry, you know, to be able to pretend to be, you know, ancient and feeble.
You fail to limp.
You fail to limp.
I don't know if you guys ever watched Community, but there's this one episode where the eldest member of the main character group joins a bunch of people who are even older than him at the same school. And at some point they all like start pretending to be senile to outwit the cops. So this is my entire character.
It was based on that logic. Well, Dragon Spear cheered, happy birthday, Granny, and I certainly agree. How did you feel about today's session, Tari? Where will the folks find you next?
This was a lot of fun. I mean, it's always a lot of fun, but like this was particularly hilarious because I like it when like the games get a bit silly, like especially because like last campaign, like the longer a campaign goes, the more serious it tends to get, right?
Right.
Because like you build up all this character baggage and shit like that, and we don't have that yet, so we can do all of this super silly shit.
Very
so,
high stakes. See, there was a dog that was pepper sprayed. I mean, like, listen, there was a, you know. I just want to spread this rumor so that poor Amal has got to deal with this stuff. Like, is it true, despite your writing skill, that you actually have thrown pepper in the face of dog? Listen, it was in a game, and it wasn't even.
Especially since she is currently in someone else's house, dog sitting. So,
right. I mean, you know. Even more horrific. Like the just.
I love my dogs. I love them so much. I literally make them food by hand.
With pepper.
With cayenne, yeah. With
cayenne. Whatsoever. The blandest food.
With cayenne pepper. Oh my god. Anyway, on we go, Tari. How did it seem?
It was all good stuff. I'm just interested to see where this party will be in roughly 4 years. How horribly traumatized we all gotta be. Then we will remember back to how light and wholesome and silly the good old days were. So, well, assuming that Granny doesn't die of old age before then. But we will see about that. that's me. I am usually here on some Tuesdays, mm-hmm. either for this or for gamebook illustration streams. Currently, we are doing a fighting fantasy book. What's the name of it?
Midnight Rogue. We're probably going to be wrapping that up this next session. We'll wrap it up with the gems, hopefully. Yes.
The one where we had to restart because we couldn't pick locks. Wisely decided to not take lockpicking in a game where we had to burgle a place.
And by we Tari does not mean herself. Tari means...
because I didn't vote. I'm just sitting there commenting on shit and drawing.
Emily's like, hey!
The grand finale next time then.
Yeah.
Do tune in for that. And besides from that, people can find me on Tumblr and on Instagram where I post my art and stuff on occasion.
Good stuff.
And now I will go to bed and then I will wake up in the morning and eat birthday cake for breakfast.
That's right. Happy birthday again, Tari. And Tari's wonderful artist, and a lot of her work is celebrated on this channel through the form of emotes and other things, including perhaps things you may see in our merchandise shop not too long from now. And this gorgeous overlay, which is Tari's work, and the gorgeous character, amazing character art, which is also Tari's work. So a lot of Tari in this campaign. Thank you, Tari, so much, as always. Brad, the thing, and again, this was extremely clever, the idea of pulling Titch into this as it was happened was genius. I was like, hell yes, because they were like, what the what is with this guy? So like the fact that you pull him in, and I think Arudinel brought this up, like, it's also like not even totally deception, because you also are like, what is with Titch? Really, what is with Titch? What is with these people? So like there was a lot of truth in your like, god damn it. it was very, very funny. And I thought, you know, you handled all of that very well. And on a more slightly more serious note, you know, Bilbo obviously respects you as the map person. And so although you were not the one who actually found the map, you bringing it back and then being the one that's looking over the map with him is understanding that is going to be important. But the herding cats notion of how we do this, and also you had to like get in their way, stall for time, all this stuff, that was very funny to me. Yeah, and it should be said, it is true that Coriander is very fond of her uncle, but Amal is just very happy that Brad got a slight taste of Bolo's medicine. Like, wait, what? Do we witch now? So that was very funny. So how did you feel about today's session? Where will the fine folks find you next?
Yeah, it was a fun wrap up to this arc. I don't know if we have any Ted Lasso fans in the group or the audience, but
of course,
the particular character Nate Shelley, who is a kit man. He's like the equipment man for the team in the first season. Then he gets promoted to assistant coach by the end of the first season. Season two, he becomes completely jealous with envy over other coaches who are coming into the group and getting kind of the limelight ahead of him, and they get most of Ted's attention as the season moves on. And so he starts going gray. And so like by mid-season, you see a little bit of gray coming in. And then by the tail end of the season and the final episode, he is almost completely gray because of the stuff going on. So in Cal's case, as we come back to Bag End, the other characters might notice like one little sliver of gray coming into his ginger hair at this point. And so I picture
speed,
by the end of the adventure, the you know, this whole arc, he will be completely gray at a young age.
Bolo.
It's named for all each here. One.
Yeah.
Bolo. I will note that Bolo never did anything like on purpose, though. He was just like, he was just new to the whole thing, and he made mistakes because he was callow. That's all.
He never on purpose decided to do exactly what River said not to do and wander into a pack of wargs or after some orcs or never. That never happened. There's definitely no VOD proof of any of that. No, nothing. Like that.
Should make the super cut off fucking over the party.
This is where I have to throw in a yip, 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 yip.
Yeah, fun session. So I will be back here next month. And if you want to keep up on my writer goings on, check me out at grillings.com. It has all my social network stuff. And otherwise, I'll be back here next month.
Good stuff, Brett. Thank you as always. And last but certainly not least, Amal, Coriander had a very eventful time inside that house. And yeah, it was actually a lot of fun when you started going through this whole thing about like the Blades in the Dark business. And I know all about that. I played Blades in the Dark and the whole stuff of like, you know, and then maybe this and you can declare load and all this stuff. I'm waiting for the punchline. And when you're like something that could maybe deal with a dog, I'm like, here I can beatifically bestow upon you. In a beneficent way, the fact that you told me that you were bringing Pepper into the house specifically, and I quote, in case there's a problem with the dog. So I'm just saying, this was you that did this. No, but I mean, like, honestly, the sequences again, and I think part of it, Chad, the way that these visuals can become so vivid is when the players have so clearly distinguished their characters and describe what they would do and everything that, like, as a story, then you can totally see it. And I don't know about all of you, I could 1,000,000% just see, like, Coriander, like, where is this? And then finding this thing and being, like, horrified at how it's been treated, rolling it, being like, oh, crap, and then, like, rolling it some more. And then, like, the Pepper thing, which, because it's in a three-sided thing, which I did establish, you know, goes flying out. It was absolutely precious, and it meant that we got to see Firework in all his glory. So that was a blast. And as it turned out, you did the job. It alerted all of the Shire practically of, you know, the fact that this theft has happened. Maybe there'll be consequences that don't lie. But no, it was a lot of fun to see. And in the end, also, I thought it was very sweet that despite all of Titch's continual, like, constant frustration with everything. Coriander's just like, but we're friends, right? Like, has no concept of like how frustrated I assume Titch is, just blows
shit.
Through it or something, or something like that. So how'd you feel about today, and where will the fine folks find you next?
I loved it. I love today. Also, Coriander adores Titch. Like, She really, really, really likes him. And it's not that, like, I think that she's not dumb. Well, I mean, she's not dumb. She's like, she's not, she's just like, cheerfully oblivious to the possibility that, like, that Titch might not want to be friends because she likes him so much, you know? And he's just a grumpy guy, but she has affection enough for both of them. That's how it's gonna be. But he's just not demonstrative, you know? That's fine. I love today. I feel like up until now, Coriander has not been living up to my personal mandate for her of causing problems on purpose and being the horrible goose from the Untitled Goose Game.
Which is tremendous.
Which is tremendous, and I highly recommend it.
Yes.
So finally today, I felt like she, every other session, there's a problem and she had a hand in solving it instead of what I wanted, which is to cause problems on purpose. And in this case, she did cause problem on purpose, and it was great, and I loved it. And it was sincerely in an attempt to, free her family from the popo. So, you know, I feel like this was a sincerely motivated action. No, I super enjoyed it. I was gonna say too, I started today barely being able to remember my own name. So the fact that you brought the paper up was very, very, very good. There was no way in a million years I was gonna remember that setup from a month ago. So I was very glad of that. But Trent said something that I wanted to pick up on. What was it?
If you wake up the dog, you had
This is the thing. Yeah. So Trent, there was a moment where Trent DM'd me right after the map rolling, and he said, on the plus side, if the dog wakes, you have a rolled up piece of paper to use against. Which was too beautiful a visual to risk, you know, pre-gaming and stuff.
I held on
to that in case. That was also going to be absolutely hilarious, but it didn't need to happen. And that way the map not getting damaged, although
right.
Very funny. I really love this crew. I think it's very, very fun. There was absolutely something else I was going to try and remember to say that I'm forgetting, but... where people can find, I can't remember. There, people can find me here, probably, hopefully one day in May that I can do this, because there's a lot of, I'm moving house next week, and it's going to be a quite busy time, and there's some travel coming up and stuff, but I will be here, not for ArvCon, sadly, but for hopefully a session before that, and otherwise you can find me at my newsletter, at my website, decreasingly on Twitter, which is, I don't know if it's even able to, is it even able to affect cancellations at this point? Can I get canceled for peppering a dog? Not sure.
Probably not.
Anyway.
Maybe, yeah, right. Your punishment will be canceled by being given a blue check. That's how that works.
That's what's happening.
It's going to be funny.
Arv, you do realize the burning question that we left in Michel Delving when we left.
Which is?
Who let the dog out?
Who?
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's true.
Nice.
Too many full circles. That's basically a 360-degree circle.
That's the Olympics. That's brilliant.
Why is the javelin? Please, can I have an owl? I want an owl, friend.
That is quality work all the way around. Hey, note to Triffid, by the way, we're looking at May 9th. I know we're going to be doing this over the weekend, but so players, please do me a favor and look over the weekend as Triffid puts that in so we can confirm that time, and we'll speak to Triffid about that offline. Also, just a wonderful job from this crew, and I'm so happy that the tone of this has been exactly what I hoped for, which is another side of Lord of the Rings. There is a sort of a gentler side to it, and there may be, you know, more seriousness that happens over time, but it's not going to be as dark as the other campaign get, which was itself Tolkien-based too, very much so, but I've enjoyed having something like this, which I felt like was...
I remembered.
I don't know. It was nice. Yes, okay.
I remember the thing I was going to say.
Quickly to meet your own deadline.
Yeah. My poor dogs are hungry. I will feed them not pepper. The thing I wanted to say was that, like, talking about, like, the lightness of the tone, that's what it was. The Hobbit as a book, like, starts very lighthearted. And right. The worst thing that happens is, like, you know, a scratch in Bilbo's paint job on the door. And then from there, it really escalates and it really, like, starts to move through a different sort of time and stuff. And I don't know if that's something that's in the cards for us, but, like, that progression is also quite different from the progression across Lord of the Rings. Tolkien stuff contains multitudes for sure. But I really like the idea that what we're kind of doing is, like, splashing around in the shallow end of the pool here. and it's really fun.
I think it's
so long as we don't get on Hurin levels of dreary.
Oh god, yeah.
All is good.
I mean, and that's the other thing too, is that I think it's a good mark, I think, of what the system can do and also what good players can do, that it's not easy to have something which is fun and light and doesn't feel sort of like, well, we're just doing improv. Like, I mean, this is using sort of mechanical aspects of the system to do a lot of this, including fellowship points, which we had to use three of today to get out of there. But I think that was also a mark of, and also I'm biased, but the richness of Professor Tolkien's world, as you say, contains multitudes, but it's also the players who know how to hold on to it. And it feels like the players have also been enjoying a bit of lightness, because goodness knows we could use some of that. Chat, can we get some love for our amazing players who I'm excited to have back next month? As always, the amazing and awesome crew of Amal Elmatar, of Brad Bullier, of Tari Toons, and of Trent Sparks. Wonderful work, players, and I will see you folks... in this group anyway, I'll see you folks next month, and otherwise I'll see you folks in different places, different spots. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye for now. Au revoir.
Arrivederci.
Okay.
All right. So, lovely stuff. And of course, I want to, especially, most of all, for the moment anyway, I want to thank Free League for sponsoring this. And I've told, of course, Free League about this. I know that they've had a chance to check in some of these things, but I really hope that they will. They're very busy doing a lot of stuff too. But I hope they will. Thank you, Dragon Spirit, for the cheer, and to Uber Jaeger as well. I hope they will check in on this, because I'm serious about that. I really appreciate that this is something which has a different sort of gentler tone, and it's, I think, an important lesson that a story can have stakes and tension without requiring the evil uber demon of fiends that will destroy all the world without the blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, you can have those tension and stakes relative to the stature of the characters. And these are characters who are, I think, quite noticeable and you know, striking, but they're not spectacular warriors. They're not a secret, you know, secret special operations service like the King's Citadel in Eberron, or a group of people brought together by circumstance and tragedy like the Esper Genesis D&D characters in Expedition for the Mysterious Peaks. So that's the situation that's there. I'm sorry about the past note. I'm sorry about that, Emily. Yeah, no, I mean, but as I'm saying, like, I didn't see something too much, because I was in the midst of doing a million things. I think you might have said something about it being too quiet as one of the notes that it got. Again, I just repeat again for, you know, everyone louder in the back, that's absolute nonsense. Like, it has absolutely nothing to do with that. First of all, quiet doesn't have to mean low stakes. Emily and I have talked about this before. Quiet can often mean extremely high stakes. It just means we're not talking about, you know, epic wars of millions of people per side, right? So there's that. And then the second thing is that even if it were low stakes, which it's not, that doesn't have to be boring either, that the stakes are relative to the people. And so that, I think, is kind of significant as well. So, that's. Oh, we're just talking about a pass that one of Emily's novels is on submission and was turned down. And so apparently the feedback reflected that it was too quiet, which, again, I think that's silly. But, you know, but hang in there, Emily. I'm, you know, we know the quality of your writing and your work. But I really enjoyed this today, and I hope you folks did as well. And we're not done streaming, actually, because 2 hours from now, we will be back here at 9 p.m. Eastern for the conclusion of Citizen Sleeper with the Our Vocalists. We will be back here with Zach Clay and this time KP. Rem Alternus is currently traveling. We couldn't get Rem, KP, and Zach all at the same time. So we're going to have KP here tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern along with Zach. We will wrap up Citizen Sleeper. And then next month, speaking of light tone, get ready to laugh with the Our Vocalists, because next week we are going to have, or next month I should say, we are going to be getting into some Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. I am super excited for some more Ace Attorney, so I hope you folks are looking forward to that too. Objection, hold it, and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be cool. With that said, I do want to thank Free League for sponsoring us. I want to encourage you to check out the wonderful work Free League does, whether it is Tales from the Loop, whether it's Blade Runner, whether it's the new one that they've just released called Dragonbane, which I've actually been looking at, and that looks pretty cool. I need about a free second after I'm done breathing with that free second. I need a free second to check it out, but it looks pretty interesting to me. Whether it is Morkborg or obviously this game, Lord of the Rings role-playing, or any of the numerous other properties, they do good work, and so I'm very pleased that they have sponsored us. And I will mention that I talked about this before, but this that you are watching now is going to get an audio podcast. We have just about put enough together now that we think we'll be able to start releasing episodes. This is money that is that was given to us partly to support a podcast, an audio podcast. So we're going to be doing an audio podcast like I do for Curse of Strahd. We're going to be doing another one like that for Shire Adventures. So there will be an all audio version of this that will be coming. Probably, my guess is maybe one or two. It'll probably be about an hour, I would guess, to an hour and 15 per session. So a little shorter than the Curse of Strahd podcasts. But yeah, so that's going to be on its way. So definitely be on the lookout for that.